The greatest battle that any of us will ever fight is the battle between our ears, the battle of the mind. Paul is writing this letter to the church at Philippi. He's writing it from a Roman prison awaiting trial. The Philippian church is a church, if you know much about the church in Philippi, it's a church that faces intense persecution. It's a church that's well known for their poverty. I mean, I don't know about you. I would like to be well known for a lot of things, but poverty is not one of them. Just to be real with you, they're a church that is well known for facing all kinds of pressure. And from that combination of a man who is in prison, who's awaiting trial, writing to a church that is well known for being a highly persecuted and a highly impoverished church, we have one of the greatest, most encouraging, most helpful, and most practical letters in our New Testament. Isn't that wild? That's just how God works. He always uses things that don't make sense to make something beautiful. And so we have living proof between Paul's situation and the church at Philippi's circumstances that joy doesn't begin with your situation. It begins with your mindset. Joy doesn't begin with your situation. It begins with your mindset. You're going to hear me talk a lot about joy today, and you're also going to hear me talk a lot about peace today. And I would submit to you that peace and joy go hand in hand. You cannot choose joy without peace, and without peace, you cannot choose joy. Does that make sense? Or does it at least not confuse you too much? Okay, good deal, whatever. Let's stand and let's read God's word together. Philippians chapter 4, starting with verse number 4, Paul writes and he says, always, you got it, you know what's up. You're going to notice a lot extreme words. Like always, I would call it an absolute word. The word all is an absolute word. The word everything or anything is an absolute word. So every time you see one of those words, I want you to repeat it with me. So he says, always be full of the joy of the Lord. He says, I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is come. Oh, I forgot that all. I'm so sorry. Somebody got it over here. Y'all are better preachers than I am. Let's just go to verse 6, and hopefully I won't mess up again. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. I guess that word final might even qualify there. I don't know. Yeah, there you go. Just say it. He says, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice. Y'all got sleepy on me. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. Today's message I'm simply calling mind over mood. Mind over mood. We do not have to be subject or victims to the moods that change so easily depending on the circumstances or the sleep or the cereal or whatever. I'm trying to think of words that start with sound, right? But rather, it is by the renewing of our minds that we can live this life in Christ Jesus that God has not only called for us to live, but provided a way for us to live by giving us the gifts of joy and peace, not the way the world gives, but the way that he gives. Father, thank you today for the word of God. Thank you that out of such difficult circumstances, this beautiful letter was written. And I pray today as we reflect on it, that 2,000 years of church history leading up to now, God, that its richness and its Holy Spirit inspiration would continue to minister to us today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. 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 Come on, give the Lord praise as you're being seated. mind over mood. How can we choose a mindset over a mood set? I got 4 points I'm going to share with you. I'm going to move kind of quick. I don't know why I say those kinds of things. We'll see what happens. It's hot in here to me, so I'm going to try to hurry so I can take this off. But anyway, all right. How do we choose a mindset over a mood set? How do we put mind over mood? Number one, we got to choose joy on purpose. We got to choose joy on purpose. Paul said in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Now, what I'm going to do is I read you the whole passage. Now, I'm going to go through each verse. And we're going to kind of break it down. Is that okay? He tells us first and foremost to rejoice. Here's the thing. Joy is a command given to us in the Word of God. It is not a suggestion. It is not an option. So if you should choose use it, joy is a command. And here's something else. And I talked a little bit about this last week. Joy is not merely an emotion. Joy is an Joy has to be a choice. It has to be a decision. And Paul tells us to rejoice in the Lord. What does Paul tell us to rejoice in? Not in circumstances, not in situations. Is happening, what could happen, what has happened. And that is for me, it's a new source for joy. Brandon, what is it? In the Lord, right? Rejoice in the Lord. And if Jesus is not your anchor for joy, then you will never know what true joy is. If people are your anchor for joy, here's the thing. People will let you down. If circumstances are your anchor for joy, circumstances will let you down. How many of you know today that if the government is somehow your source for anything? Come on, I'm preaching real life in Oak Ridge today. They gonna let you down. And I'm not throwing shade. I'm just speaking truth. If your joy is rooted in anything or anyone other than Christ and Christ alone, you are setting yourself up for disappointment, defeat, and discouragement. Bottom line, plain and simple, no apology is given because it is the truth. Jesus must be the anchor for your joy. Rejoice in the Lord. And Paul is not writing this from a place of beautiful contentment. Paul is not sitting on a beach somewhere sipping a drink with an umbrella in it. Come on, right? You know, in perfect weather with the sea breeze flowing across his hair, right? Paul is in a stinky Roman prison with no proper indoor plumbing, chained to a guard who does not want to be near him, writing to a church that has witnessed the death, execution, and persecution of fellow believers in a city where they can no longer find employment because they do not worship the Roman gods. They worship the one true God, and because they do not live their life in submission to the government in Rome, but rather in submission to God Almighty, they are not even able to provide for their families. He's writing in this set of circumstances, in this situation that he is in, the most joy-filled letter in our New Testament because he has learned the lesson and he's writing to a church that is learning the lesson that joy can be anchored to nothing else than Jesus Christ. You know, it's one thing to take advice from somebody who doesn't know what's up. Anybody ever been in a situation where, like, you're going through something and somebody who just ain't got a clue comes to you and is, like, patting you on the back and he's like, hey, yeah, I feel you, brother. I've been there. I know it's tough, but just hang on, right? I've had teenagers come up to me, like, with the best of intentions. God bless them, right? Hey, praise the Lord for good intentions, right? You know, pat me on the back and be like, yeah, you know, God's got this. I'm like, you've never wrote a check. Sorry, I love you guys. I'm not picking on y'all. I'm just saying, right? My oldest daughter, she's always wanted to grow up real fast. And I guess she's just kind of observed some things. And the other day, she was like, I don't want to become an adult. It looks like that sucks. She didn't say that word. Yeah, she's not in here. What she's like, it's hard. Yeah, yeah. She's like, I like being a kid. Y'all do everything for me. And I'm like, tell me about it. Paul is the guy who, if he comes to you and he says, hey, I know this is hard, but the Lord's with you. You're like, you know what, Paul? That's right, bro. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's the kind of guy, right? And so when he says rejoice in the Lord, it's not some over positive poppycock junk that he's sharing. He's saying, hey, I know what it's like to go through hard times, and God's with you. You got this. And then, but here's the thing. Paul doesn't stop with rejoice in the Lord. He adds that one word. Always. Like if Paul said rejoice in the Lord when you can, when you're feeling it, when the worship is hitting just right, right? Rejoice in the Lord when your bills are paid and you woke up without a backache. You know, I might be like, I can get on board with that, Paul. But he says, rejoice in the Lord. The command to rejoice is always in season. It is always the right time to rejoice. The focus on always means that we can have joy not in something, but in someone. And it does not depend on circumstances. We can always rejoice in the Lord because of what Christ has done for us. And here's the thing. No one can steal your joy. No one can take away your victory in Christ. You can only surrender it by choosing to elevate circumstances over Christ. Verse 4 begins with rejoice and it ends with rejoice. And what it's saying to us is that joy is not a suggestion or an option. It is a command. It is essential. And here's the thing about feelings. And if you're taking notes, and I'm going to say this a few times today, write this down. Feelings follow focus. Feelings follow focus. I'm going to say it again. Feelings follow focus. Too many of us are a slave to our feelings. We have become encapsulated in a life that elevates feelings over anything else in this world. We live in a culture that has elevated feelings to the highest authority of what truth even is, right? And do not think for a second that that mentality has not seeped its way into the church or into our lives or even your pastor's life, right? Feelings follow focus. If you will make the decision to choose joy, feelings will follow. I'm not going to tell you that it'll happen instantaneously. It will take time, and we're going to talk about this more. But if you will continually choose joy, feelings will follow. Because feelings follow focus. Secondly, how do we choose mind over mood? Number two, we don't let anxiety run the show. Somebody needs to hear this today. I love you so much, but stop claiming anxiety as your identity. You are not an anxious person. Your anxiety does not define you. You are a person who Christ has set free, who is battling anxiety, and you might have been losing the battle, but today in the name of Jesus, I'm praying that God is going to give you some tools to walk in freedom. Anxiety does not have to define you. Don't let anxiety run the show. Verse 6, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. I got a confession to make for you today. Too often in my life, I've worried about everything and prayed about nothing. Paul flips it, though. Don't worry about anything. Again, those absolute words. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about Tell God what you need. Thank him for all he's done. Then, say then. That's a good connector word. A lot of times we want to experience God's peace, but we don't want to go to God to get the peace. Right? Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Again, don't worry about anything. Anybody ever tell you, hey, just don't worry about it? And you want to lose your forearm in their face. Right? I'm just being real today. You don't worry about anything. You're about to worry. Just don't worry about it. I love my wife so much. I'm just not going to acknowledge that. If y'all didn't hear it, you're better off. I'm just kidding. That was funny. And so in our marriage, I'm the worrier, and Kristen is not. I don't know what the word is. Oh, stop it. She said faith walker. Yeah, that's good though. That's good. Hey, I'm getting better. But so often, and she doesn't do it as much anymore because she's learned that like it don't help. She's like, just don't think about that. And I'm like, And I'm telling you, and she's learned this now, because we've this December we've been married 17 years. Yeah. We were with a bunch of pastors and they asked us how long we've been married, and we lied for a whole lunch and said 18 years this December, because we can't math. I told her, I said, we should have either gotten married 3 years earlier or 2 years later, so it'd have been a five and we'd have figured out. But anyway. I'm sorry, I'm taking too much liberty up here today. Y'all ready to hear a sermon? I'm just up here talking. And she's learned me, that you can't just tell me to not worry, because all that does is I still worry and now I'm mad. So I'm like, but it is true in that don't worry about it is actually part of the equation. Right? Because, and Paul teaches us this. He says, don't worry. Now, he doesn't follow it up with be happy, because it's a scripture and not a good catchy song. He says, don't worry. But then he gives us great advice. Instead, pray about everything. The phrase, hey, just don't worry about it, that's telling you to just try to forget it. And I don't know about you, but if there's anything in this world I can remember, it's things that I need to be worried about, right? But he doesn't leave us there. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. He doesn't tell us to forget our worries. He tells us to redirect our worries. He says, take those worries and then give them to the Lord. And write this down. Prayer is the antidote to anxiety. If you battle anxiety, and let me tell you something, my friends, I'm right here with you, okay? Anxiety is a battle that I fight. Now, anxiety is not my identity. Anxiety doesn't get to have ownership over me. But I'm telling you, as a pastor, as a person, as a friend, if there's anybody in this room that I know for a fact that battles anxiety on a more often basis than I'm willing to admit in this moment right here, it's your boy right here, okay? But I have learned, I am learning, and I will continue to learn that prayer is the antidote to anxiety. I'm thankful for counselors. I'm thankful even for medications. I'm thankful for when the Lord chooses to use that, and I'm not speaking anything negatively about that. But if you were trying to treat anxiety with any other method than giving it to the Lord, I am telling you right here, right now, you are fighting a losing battle, because you have not recognized the greatest weapon in your hand to battle in the fight against anxiety is the connection you have with your Father in heaven. Prayer is the antidote to anxiety. Listen to what Peter says. Give. Oh, there it is. What's the next word? Oh man, I love that. Give all your worries and your cares to God, for he cares about you. Lord, I give you this scratchy throat. God wants you to go to him with everything. Aren't you thankful this morning that nothing is too big, nothing is too small, nothing is too trivial, nothing is too dirty, too embarrassing, to whatever you fill in the blank, that your Father in heaven would say, oh, no, 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 don't come to me with that. No, no, no. Give all your worries and cares to God. And I love the last part of the sentence, because we forget about this so easily, so often. For he cares for you. Man, you just need to receive that over your life today. He cares for you. Too many of you are walking in shame and condemnation because you're carrying all these worries and cares, and you think God looks at you with judgmental eyes. But I want to remind you that he is the God of grace and mercy and forgiveness and love. Praise God for his goodness. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Going back to Philippians, will you put the last verse back up for me? Thank him for all he's done. Now, this is interesting. Many of us, you guys okay? Many of us will pray and tell God what we need. But we are quick to forget. I'll say it like this. Drew is quick to forget the second part of that directive. Thank God for all he's done. Thankfulness will change the posture of your prayers from panic to peace. Thankfulness will change the postures of your prayer from panic to peace. In other words, what you're doing in that moment, you may not be verbalizing this out loud, but you're saying it with your actions and with your prayer life, is that God, you have been faithful before, and I trust that you will be faithful again. Prayer requests without gratitude is a wish list. Okay. Prayer requests without gratitude is the cosmic equivalent to sitting on Santa's lap at the mall. Is that okay? I want, do this for me. But unfortunately, that's how many of our prayer lives look. Prayer requests without gratitude is just a wish list. But when you combine prayer with gratitude, it becomes an act of worship that aligns your heart with the reality of heaven for your life. This is probably, in my estimation, Philippians 4:4-9 might be some of the most rich and practical verses of Scripture in all of the Bible to help us live for Jesus. Thank him for all he's done. In verse 7, then you will experience God's peace. That word then is very important. In verse 7, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. The peace the world offers is dependent upon peaceful circumstances, which must constantly be preserved and guarded from countless dangers. God's peace is different, though. You guys listening? You guys with me still? Because this is how it's different. The world's peace must be guarded. God's peace guards us. The world's peace must be protected. It must be insured. There must be, you know, some level of protection that guards the world's peace. That's why I like AppleCare and extended warranties. Right? I don't even need a phone case. I can play with this however I want to. The world's peace must be guarded. But God's peace guards us. God's peace protects us. God's peace ensures us. It's a different kind of peace. And practically, when anxiety tries to take control in your life, and let me do this. If I hope this is okay. If anxiety in your life, and I'm asking you to be really honest here, and I'm going to go ahead and raise my hand now so you know you're not alone. But if anxiety is a pretty consistent battle that you fight, would you just lift your hand right now? Let's just be honest and real in the house. Come on, lift it up, lift it up. In the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that you would help us to walk in the rightful freedom that is ours through your sacrifice, through the price that you paid on the cross. Jesus, you said in your word, the enemy comes to steal and to kill and destroy, but you said, I have come that you may have life and life abundantly. Today, in the name of Jesus, we speak against every work of the enemy that seeks to steal our peace, rob us from joy, and destroy the hope and the work of God in our life. And Jesus, today we walk in the life, the abundant life that you have provided for us. In Jesus' name, we receive it and declare it by faith. And amen. And listen, that's the first thing you do when anxiety tries to take hold. You pray. You give it to God in prayer. You thank God for what he has done. And then you choose to trust God to protect you with his peace. And this is how, even though you cannot control what happens to you, you can control what happens in you. The world wants you to believe, the enemy wants you to believe that everything happening between these ears is out of your control, that you can't help what you think, that you can't help what you dwell on, that you can't help what you're focused on. That's a lie straight from the pit of hell that has been given and force-fed to us to make us victims instead of allowing us to become the victors that we are through Christ Jesus, our Lord. That kind of peace that God gives you teaches you and helps you understand that even though you cannot control everything out here, you can, not through control, but through surrender to him, control what happens between those ears in your mind. Come on, say amen. Thirdly, how do we pick mind over mood? Number three, we fix our focus. If you're still okay, just wave at me a little bit. Let me see. Okay, good deal. Most of you. Some of you. A couple of you. Verse 8, he says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts. See, you can control what you think about. Because God's not going to tell you to do something you can't do. Now, he might tell you to do something that's really hard for you to do, and he might tell you to do something that you can only do through the power of Christ that's been given to you. Right? But if God asks it of you, he's going to provide a way for you to make it happen. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Come on, can you repeat those with me? Let's just repeat that sentence right there together. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Then he says, think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Here's the deal. Your focus is formative. It is forming something in you. Paul is, and I want to be very clear, I want you to understand, Paul is not promoting positive thinking. And that's what a lot of us try to do. We just try to have positive thinking. Paul is not promoting positive thinking. Paul is promoting purposeful thinking. Intentional thinking. Your mind, it's like a gate, right? And whatever you let dwell in there, it's going to shape your mind. It's going to shape your peace. And I'm not trying to be legalistic this morning, but I'm just going to share with you some things about me. Like when I first got saved, the Lord, he made, like through the conviction and love of the Holy Spirit, there were certain things in my life that I had to stop listening to, and there were certain things in my life that I had to stop looking at, right? Stop watching certain movies. I was getting my hair cut the other day, and we were talking about Halloween, and the girl cut my hair was talking about scary movies, and I was like, I don't watch scary movies. And she's like, oh, you don't like scary movies? I was like, have you been outside? Real life is scary enough. I don't need any other junk getting in my brain, scaring me. I have a hard enough time sleeping as it is. And here's the thing. I say this with love, but I say this with conviction. Don't complain about a lack of peace when you're filling your mind with trash that's going to, because it's going to make its home in there. It's going to speak to you. I'm telling you, there's a spirit behind a lot of it. And it's not the Holy Spirit. And I'm not trying to be legalistic, and things that are a conviction for me may not be a conviction for you. But like, if peace is a problem in your life and you don't have peace and you don't have joy, it's time that you started filling your heart and your mind with things that promote peace, that promote joy, and not things that want to rob it from you. Murder podcast. Like, what? Sorry. It was totally you. I saw you do it. I know. Paul, he gives us a filter to run our thought life through. First thing he says, is it true? Does it line up with God's word? Is it honorable? Does it build your character? Is it right? Does it agree with what is just? Is it pure? Does it keep your heart clean, or does it lead you to sin? I heard a lot of mms on that one. Is it lovely? Does it lead you toward being a person of love? And is it admirable? Would others see Christ in it? And if it fails this test, Lifehouse, it does not deserve your focus. It doesn't deserve your focus. He wrote another letter to another church in Corinth. Paul did. And this is in 2 Corinthians 10:5. He says, we take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. In other words, Philippians 4:8 tells us what to think about, and 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us what to do when our thoughts start to wander. We take them captive and we bring them back to Jesus and we say, hey, you got to do something about this. I'm doing what your word says. I'm giving this to you, God. Help me to fix my focus on true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, and admirable things. And then again, let me just reemphasize again, not trying to be legalistic, but I do want to help you and pastor you, and some of you just may not realize this. If you are exposing yourself through the media that you consume, or even the people that you choose to be around, to toxic thoughts and patterns, to things that are filled with death, or lust, or anger, or bitterness, then don't be shocked if your thought life is not in alignment with the thought life that God wants for you. But the beautiful thing is, you can do something about it. You can change what you are consuming. You can alter that. You can shift that. And you can begin to take every thought captive that is not the kind of thought that God would have you to have. And you can bring it to the feet of Jesus. And he says in his word, it will then become obedient to Christ. And then you can start focusing on what is pure, on what is true, on what is love. And admirable, and so on and so forth. You are not powerless in the war between your ears. You have been given the tools that you need to do what you can do, and then the faith that you need to trust that God will do what you can't do to give you the mind of Christ to live with the peace of God and to have the joy of the Lord. Thanks, Wendy. I appreciate that. Is that okay? Are we good? And point number four, how do we choose mind over mood? You got to practice what you've learned. You've got to practice what you've learned. Now, the thing about this is, Braxton, I wish so bad when it came to the things of God, like I'll use forgiveness, for instance. I wish I could just forgive somebody and be like, I forgive Susie because she, I don't know Susie. Susie's amazing. She doesn't need my forgiveness. But if you did, let's just imagine, right? For whatever, right? Susie, I forgive Susie. And then I wish that forgiveness just worked in such a way that I could walk away from it and be like, I'm never thinking about how mad I was at Susie again. But that's just not how forgiveness works, right? That's just, you've got to forgive again. It's the same thing with anxiety. You know, Paul says, don't worry about anything, pray about everything. I wish, Braxton, I could do that one time. I wish, Lord, I just give you this roof. I wish I could give you that tape that's falling down right there, Lord. Oh, God. I wish I could do that. I wish I could give it to God, whatever it may be, and say, Lord, I'm choosing to not worry about this. I'm giving this to you, and I'm going to pray about it. And then I could just go on my merry way, and it never come up in my brain again. But unfortunately, that is not how it typically works. Don't let the word practice fool you into thinking that that means that that's something that you're doing over and over again to try to get better at it. The word practice actually means something that you are doing repeatedly because it's become part of who you are. Like you practice law. I don't practice law. Somebody practices law, right? You practice medicine, okay? I practice Tylenol, but I don't practice medicine. Okay, I don't know. That was a bad joke. Right? You have to practice peace. You have to practice joy. Let me say it like this. You have to continually choose peace and you have to continually choose joy. You have to set yourself up for success in the world of peace and joy. Like you have to, Denora, when that unpeaceful, anxious thought pops back up, oh, no. Nope, we're practicing peace today. We're not doing this. Okay, so God, I'm going to take this to you, and I'm going to give it to you. And Lord, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to pray about it. And God, I'm going to thank you that even though I've been worried about these things, Lord, you've always been faithful. You've always been good. And even though bad things have happened in the past, Lord, you've always seen me through. You've always provided. You've always made a way. And before you know it, you've gone from panic to prayer to worship to praise. You got to practice it. You got to put it into motion. And I wish so bad you could respond to one altar call and anxiety or depression or fear would never be a problem in your life again. And if you die today, then it won't be. I'm not trying to be negative. You know, you're worried about that, right? Oh, no. What if that happens? You're going to go to live as Christ and to die as King. You're fine. Okay. The truth is, yes, the Lord will move in your life and God will touch you and he will help you. But you're going to have to go to him again. You're going to have to take that thought captive again. But Brandon, the beautiful thing is that the more you do it, the easier it gets. The more you do it, the easier it gets. You know, I can't play piano. I can't play keys. Can you unmute that? I can play chords, maybe. Yeah, I know where the chords are, but I haven't practiced them. So if you give me enough time, I can play a few. And I'm not leaving this chord, okay? Because, wait, let's try. Oh, that's a different key, though. There we go. That's the right key. That's C. Okay. Okay. Anyway, I'm just excited. I don't get to play instruments anymore. Don won't let me. But I haven't practiced playing piano. So yeah, I can play a few chords here and there, but it takes me a long time. It takes a lot of effort. And that's the way it is. Come on, Don, if you would. Sorry. Take over this thing, all right? And that's the way it is with peace. Like, you might know the right things to do, but until you develop a habit, we talk a lot about habits, right? Most of the habits we talk about, they're not good habits. But how many of you know there are some good habits you can develop, right? And you start putting those things into motion and you begin practicing and you begin putting the things that you've learned together. When Don gets up here, I'll show you. Don, would you just play me a C for real? Like, and you start playing. See, you start putting it together. All right, just whatever. Just play. Keep going. I don't know what else is in that key. F sharp, something like that. And then before you know it, you've gone from barely playing a note to where you can string this whole thing together and it becomes a song. And you go from singing songs of panic to songs of peace because you keep on practicing what you've learned. You keep on doing what you know to do. It's not easy to do it, is it, Billy? It's not easy. Nobody said it was easy. Paul never says, hey, this will be easy. No, and I wish I could tell you one day it gets a lot easier. It doesn't, right? In fact, I would even argue the more familiar you are with something, sometimes the less apt you are to do the thing you know you need to do. Practice what you've learned. Paul says in verse 9, keep putting into practice all that you've learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then, all right, that's an important word. Say that word, then. Then, the God of peace. God doesn't just give peace. See, actually, Wendy, we don't need peace from God. We need the God of peace. Because peace is not just merely a gift that God gives. Peace is an attribute of his character. And so when I need peace, I don't need something that God can give me. I need God. I need God himself. I don't need something that comes from his hand. I need his face. I need his presence. Then the God of peace will be with you. How many of you would like to encounter and have and keep the God of peace with you? Come on. Here's the truth. Peace is not passive. Peace is not passive. Paul doesn't say think about peace. Paul says to practice peace. I wrote this down in my notes a long time ago, and I knew it was there. I had to go do some digging to find it on my phone. Deliverance, and we love deliverance, and I believe it. We believe in deliverance. We talk about deliverance. We teach on it. We pray for it. Deliverance is amazing. Deliverance will break the curse. But discipleship will break the cycle. What is discipleship? It is discipline plus decisions. Decisions plus discipline is the discipleship that breaks the cycle, that keeps you from ending back up where you were. In other words, you can't cast out habits. You have to change them. Many of us were praying prayers and God is saying, I've already done all this for you, but you're not doing it for you. We're asking God to give us something that he's already provided for us, but we refuse to walk in it. And here's the truth. God will do what you can't do, but God will never do what you can do. He says, the God of peace will be with you. You don't just get the peace of God. I've already kind of said this. You get the God of peace. And I believe Don quoted this verse during worship, Isaiah 26:3, you will keep in perfect peace all those who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. What does perfect peace mean? Anytime you read the word perfect in the Bible, if the word complete would be a good substitute in the sentence, then that's what that word peace means. See, we think of the word perfect as flawless, but a lot of times in Scripture, that's not what it means. It means complete. Another word that you could use a lot of times in Scripture is mature. You keep in complete peace. Or you could even say you keep in mature peace, which may sound a little strange to you, but what that means is peace that has been fully developed over time and trial, that has come to this place, that you have come to understand and recognize that the peace that God gives you is not based on the things that happen around you, but rather it is based upon the God on whose your eyes, your attention, your heart is fixed and focused on. He is the God of peace. He is not just a God who gives peace. He is the God who is himself peace. And when he shows up, peace shows up. When he shows up, love shows up. When he shows up, joy shows up. And all other competing distractions that the enemy would want to bring into your life to distract you from the to the right or to the left, God says, no, 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 no. Here, this is where your peace is. Think about Peter walking on water. Come on, does that ring a bell? He gets out of the boat. Jesus says, come over here, big boy. You think you're a water walker like me? Let's see what you got. Peter steps out of the boat. He starts walking on water, and he's doing really good. But what does the Bible say? The winds and the waves, they started to rise up. Alex, I think it's so interesting. The Bible says the wind. You can't even see wind. Many of us, we lose peace over the things we can't even see. It's the things that we've imagined. He loses his focus on the one who called him to himself. He begins to focus on the wind and the wave, part of those he can't even really see. And he begins to sink. And he prays this most beautiful prayer in all of Scripture. Three words. It's my favorite prayer. I like it better than Elijah's prayer on Mount Carmel. I like it better than the prayer Peter prayed in Acts chapter 2. I like it even better, Julie, than the Lord's Prayer that Jesus gave to his disciples as a model for us to pray. Peter prays the most beautiful and the most effective prayer, and the prayer that God will always answer. He may not always answer it the way you wanted him to answer it, but he will always answer it one way or the other. Three words, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. And Jesus reaches down further than Peter can reach up. That's what he does, guys. And he pulls him up. You know how hard it is to pull somebody up? It's easy to pull somebody down. But to pull somebody up, he's a good God and he's strong too. And he pulls him up. You guys okay? Here's the altar call this morning. And we got prayer team members to pray with you. You can come here. And I didn't even plan it this way. The Lord's just kind of shifted my thinking as we've gone on. But if your prayer this morning, and maybe you raised your hand earlier and you're still, it still counts now too, okay? You can still come to the altar too. Don't think you only get one chance to respond to what the Lord's doing. But whatever it is today, maybe it is salvation. Maybe you're far from God and you want to be close to God. Maybe it's a situation that you're fighting. Maybe it's a fear that keeps on nagging you, keeping you awake at night. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's depression. Maybe it's suicidal thoughts. I'm telling you right now, the Lord wants to deliver you. And after he delivers you, you need to get discipled. You need to make decisions and you need to do the thing. You need to have a discipline about you so that you can walk in the freedom that God has for you, right? Maybe you need healing in your body. I don't care. I don't know. Whatever it is, I'm telling you, the Spirit of God is here today and he wants to meet you right where you are. So if whatever it is, if your prayer today is, Lord, save me, and whatever capacity that looks like for you, I want to invite you, if you would, and I know this is bold and I know it may feel awkward, but again, don't let fear have the final say-so in your life. If you're in the house today and you need God to move on your behalf, you don't need the peace of God, you need the God of peace. You don't just need the joy of the Lord. You need Jesus, who is joy. You don't just need healing. You need the healer. You don't just need provision. You need the provider. You don't just need saving. You need the Savior. If you're in the house today, would you stand and just come to this altar right now? Is there anybody in the house? I'm just going to wait a moment. I know it's bold. I know it's a big ask. I know to just get up when everybody's sitting down. How about this? Would we all just stand today? Make it a little easier. Now that you're all standing, if you need the Lord to move in your life, you want to be free from anxiety, you want to be free from depression, you want to be free from suicidal thoughts, you want to be free from fear, you want to walk in all the fullness that God has for you, would you come to this altar? For a moment. And you could come up at any time.
Say something. When Pastor Drew asked earlier in the service, who struggles with anxiety and depression? I saw hands raised all over this building. And when he calls the altar call, there's a lot of hands I saw raised that are not in the altar. Which would make me believe that the enemy has told you that it's no use. And he's not going to answer the prayer today. So why even get up and make that step? And that hurts my heart this morning for you. God, I bind a spirit of fear. That you would give your people the boldness and the tenacity of the woman that had the issue of blood. That I will ignore the attack of the enemy this morning. And I will reach for the hem of his garment. Because I've already raised my hand in front of everyone. They all know that I struggle. But now I want freedom. And even though I've come and I've prayed, maybe daily, like Pastor Drew has said, and I still feel the attack. This may be the time. And I'm not trying to take over, but I'm just gonna urge you a little bit this morning, because it hurts my heart. It hurt my heart to see so many hands raised. I will not allow the enemy to keep me from my Father this morning. I will go one more time and seek the face of the one that I love. I will lean back in the loving arms of a beautiful Father. Breathe deep and know that He is good. He's a love like no other. I will lean back in the loving arms of a beautiful Father. never leave. You will never leave. Oh, one more time, getting at your spirit. He'll never leave. He never forsakes. Your love sustains. Your love sustaining me. Before I even knew what love was. Because you brought your children here to rest this morning. You brought me here to and given us space to breathe. And given me space to breathe. So I'll stay still. Until it sinks in. Oh, one more time. I will lean back. I will lean. So I will lean back in the loving arms of a beautiful Father. Breathe deep and know that He is good. He's a love like no other.
Real quick. Four habits for mind over mood. Choose joy because it's a choice. Pray instead of panic. Fix your focus. Practice your peace, because the greatest battles in your life are not in your circumstances, but in your mind. Peace is not something you earn. It is something you receive from God. And so I encourage you today, for every single one of us, that we would release every thought in our mind that is out of alignment with the Word of God, and we would receive His truth over us today. Come on, amen to that. Amen.